This is the Arab Street Radio and Podcast. I'm Ray Hanania. I do two podcasts, this one on the Middle East and another on mainstream American politics. Thank you for listening to this podcast where we talk about issues in the Middle East, Palestine, Israel, and American policies. You can get more information on all of my podcasts by visiting www.hanania.com. Good morning, everybody. It's Friday, October 11th, 2019. I'm Ray Hanania, special U.S. correspondent for the Arab News newspaper. And you're listening to the Arab Street Radio and Podcast broadcast from Detroit, Michigan through 690 AM WNZK Radio. I really got to say I always enjoy Crystal Mail's morning show. Great music and talk. The Arab Street Radio and Podcast is part of the U.S. Arab Radio Network hosted by Leila El Husseini, a giant in the media industry, in the Arab American media. It's in an effort to energize and empower Arab Americans to stand up for their rights. For more information, you can go to my website at hanania.com. And afterwards, you can get the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or by visiting my podcast website at hanania.com. You get all the podcasts I do, too. One on the Middle East and one on American politics. The radio show call-in number is 248-557-3300. 248-557-3300. Much to talk about. You know, I recently attended the opening of the United Nations 74th General Assembly. I was really disappointed in the Arabs. You know, just poorly orchestrated participation. Great messages. And as usual, they have no idea how to communicate their agendas and their issues. So what else is new, right? We'll also talk about the Arab world gestures that separate Judaism from Israel's racist government policies. Jews and Israel are two different things. Israeli fanatics may want you to think they're all one monolith, but they're not. And this week we saw the ambassador of Saudi Arabia to the United States in Washington, D.C., offer a kind of, it was a little unprecedented, you know, a Happy New Year to the Jewish New Year for Rosh Hashanah. And, you know, she got a lot of criticism for that. But I don't think she should have been criticized. I think what she did was right, because by doing it makes a statement that separates Judaism from Israeli politics. And, of course, well, this issue about the Kurds in Syria, this is really complicated and really tough to walk. On the one hand, I kind of like the Turks because of the way they've stood up to Israel. On the other hand, they have this ongoing anger with the Kurds, who are basically an Iranian Persian branch of the Arab world, and they just can't let it go. And the Kurds have always been fighting for their own independence in areas of Iraq, Syria, and the old Ottoman areas in the Middle East. So President Trump decided that he was going to step back and allow the Turks to mount an assault against the Kurds. And I think it's just going to end up in more bloodshed and more suffering. It's really kind of sad. Our number 248-557-3300. 248-557-3300 at the United Nations in New York. And I'll tell you what, that's a huge place, the United Nations. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's like four or five football fields. They got this big building, you know, the UN General Assembly building, which everybody always sees, but it's on this massive area of land. It takes like forever to walk one end to the other end. I was telling the Arab News that one person isn't enough to cover the United Nations in the future. You got to have several reporters. So I was there to kind of you know, listen in and pick up any interesting sidebars and stories about what was happening. The most interesting thing that I saw at the UN, which was mainly the main week, was September 23rd through the 29th, that almost one-week period. That's when the big speakers actually came, although it had opened the week before. But the most fascinating thing was that out of 193 member states, you know, every one of them gets up, they give a speech. Most of the time, everybody just leaves. I mean, the General Assembly is empty. you know, except when you get the big shots like President Trump, you know, or Russia, or even Israel sometimes. But for the rest of the speeches, they're practically empty, except for Palestine. And I found that really fascinating. The majority of the 193 countries, every speaker, every one of them went out of their way to say something powerful about supporting Palestinian rights, which is interesting. I mean, all these different countries have all these issues, and they did address them, but they took a moment to say that regardless of what, you know, the United States or Israel wants, Palestine is always going to be one of their sacred issues, and they support it. They called for the two-state solution, something that Israel is doing its best to destroy. Israel doesn't want peace. What it wants is land. Israel's government, you know, the Israelis, although, you know, the Israeli government is a reflection of, obviously, the Israeli people, and the government is there only because of the extremism of the Israeli people, the majority. They allow that government to take hold, and it's still in limbo now from two broken elections, it looks like. Netanyahu's stumbling. Looks like there's at least a fight, right, in Israel, with the help of some of the Arab voters this time, to push the fanatics out and maybe kind of refocus Israel on a centrist, you know, moderate road and get it away from the racist brutality that it's embraced. But every country, every one of them, every speech, I listened to a lot of them, and they all took a moment to speak out for the Palestinian people. That should make the Palestinians feel good. What shouldn't make them feel good is the fact that their leadership sucks. You know, Mahmoud Abbas was there speaking, the Palestinian president, and he was terrible. I just, you know, it's just the same old rhetoric coming from Saab Erekat and, you know, all these people. It's like, how long do we allow tragedy and suffering to overlook the incompetence of these people? It's just horrible. They just have no idea how to argue. In fact, you know, I was one of the few Palestinian journalists covering the UN General Assembly. And after Mahmoud Abbas made his speech, which was really pretty generic, there was no media support afterwards. And what I mean is, you know, when you're, let's say the Israelis, the Israeli prime minister makes a speech, his PR people then go out, make sure that everybody gets a copy of the speech, they get a summary of the speech, they make it easy for the news media to cover. The Palestinians, on the other hand, they like run from the media like they're hiding something. And I'm sitting there, I'm waving, I'm going, hey, President Abbas, come on over here. He waved at me like, oh yeah, one of the great faithful, thank you. I'm going, no, I come over here, I want to talk to you. We can come over, Saab Erekat too. These guys are living in their desperation. You know, they're not doing a great job. They're not effective. And they're really kind of leading the Palestinians, you know, down the tubes. But keep in mind, it isn't like a comparison between, oh, Abbas is bad and Hamas is good. No, Hamas is even worse. They're terrorists. They're crazy. They're off the deep end. They're religious. They, you know, they don't want a secular Palestine or democracy. They want fanaticism. So it's just sad that the only other option, the PNA and Mahmoud Abbas, they're dysfunctional. They have no idea how to organize communications. It can't even take a minute. The media that wanted to talk to them, you know, to hear them say things so these reporters could write stories in support of what they're doing. But it's like they have no sense of communications. It's like children, you know, and these are the people that are controlling our lives. It's very disappointing. I was like, wow, all the, if it wasn't for the other countries, Palestine would have had no voice other than this voiceless Abbas and his terrible government, ineffective, and has no idea how to communicate. They can't even put a press release together. They can't even come up and talk to journalists. Every other prime minister, every other head of state, they all came by. None were too, you know, powerful that they couldn't take a moment to talk to the media. They all stopped by But the Palestinians, they just, what do we have to say? Obviously nothing. And you're wondering, you know, why Palestine is in limbo. All you got to look is at our leadership. They're just terrible. You know, and that's not to say that their moderate politics are bad. What's bad is their inability to govern totally. They have no sense of the responsibility of communications. They need to understand how to do it. And, you know, we've been saying this for 45 years. I've been wasting my time with them. They're losers. And unfortunately, they're not going to get ahead. It's up to the people to decide. And their people are even divided. And they're not going to decide. But I'll tell you one guy that really impressed me. He spoke the longest during the 74th session a couple weeks ago. It was Imran Khan, the Prime Minister of Pakistan. This guy spoke in English. He was brilliant. Imran Khan is probably the most brilliant speaker I have heard speak about Middle East and Muslim issues. And Muslims should listen to him because his arguments, his case that he makes for Muslims around the world is very moderate and effective, and he hit the nail right on the head. You know, what he did was he got up there and he really wanted to argue about India, which is, you know, if you haven't noticed, India's government is run by a right-wing, almost like a neo-Nazi organization. That's what they're saying, that this Narendra Modi is a far right fanatic, and he believes in the racial superiority of his people, almost the way the Germans did in the 1930s. And Imran Khan was talking about how India's right-wing fanatic, you know, fascist government, and, you know, are you surprised that they embraced Israel? Now that you understand what India's government is all about, you understand why India is turning to Israel, because it's about this political fascism and the identity of fascism. And Imran Khan got up there and called him out for what he was, you know, the Indian president, prime minister. He called him out, and he said, you know, what they're doing in Kashmir is intended to create a problem and a conflict. And Khan was very clear, you know, basically at the end of his speech saying, you know, you're going to fight me, I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to stand up as a Muslim. I will stand up for my people. And keep in mind that Pakistan is no different than India. We have nuclear weapons too. And I thought that was, wow. I thought that was a big story, but, you know, people are afraid to write the nuclear weapon story. Pakistan was basically saying, if you attack us, we will respond. And don't think it's going to be a conventional war. It'll be something even bigger. But we'll talk a little bit more about Imran Khan's speech. We'll talk about Ambassador Bandar al-Saud, Princess Rima, and her remarks of gracious gesture to the Jewish people, offering them, you know, a happy new year for their Rosh Hashanah, which was about 10 days ago, and it just ended with Yom Kippur, which is their holiest day. And the ability to separate religion from politics is so important in the Middle East, and it makes it easier to stand up to the fanatics in Israel who want to say that any criticism of Israel is a religious attack. They call it anti-Semitic, which it is not. So in a way, Princess Rima was making a very powerful statement in defense of respecting the Jewish people and at the same time allowing criticism of Israel's government. I'm Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM 690 Radio on your dial. Our number is 248-557-3300. Give us a buzz, 248-557-3300. We could talk about the Kurds, we could talk about Judaism in Israel, and how it's used to, how Israel uses religion to block criticism. And we can also talk about the pathetic Palestinian presence at the United Nations General Assembly that I attended a couple weeks ago. I'm Ray Hanania. We're going to be right back right after these messages. And welcome back to the Arab Street Radio and Podcast. I'm Ray Hanania. It is Friday, October 11th. I'm the special U.S. correspondent for the Arab News newspaper, which is based in Riyadh but and in Dubai, and is expanding. It's opened a huge bureau in London, which has expanded coverage. It's opened a bureau in Pakistan, which is providing some really phenomenal coverage. And we're slowly going to open up a bureau here in the United States to cover, you know, some of the bigger Arab American issues and maybe get some of the background on topics that a lot of the mainstream media doesn't write about. So when something happens, you know, they give you kind of very shallow, you know, news story about it and nothing. So the Arab News wants to kind of do what the media isn't doing and to offer some depth, you know, in-depth look at some of these stories. So, you know, that's what we're going to be doing. And it's not easy. You know, the United States is huge, obviously, probably the biggest beat that the Arab News has anywhere right now, although Saudi Arabia is phenomenal and Pakistan. But I'll tell you, this guy, Imran Khan, like I said, if I had to pick the most effective speaker at the UN, it was Imran Khan, the Prime Minister of Pakistan. His defense of Islam was one, and he went on for an hour, and about a half hour of that was about talking about why Islam is stereotyped, why the real issue isn't radical Islam, it's the abuse of Islam by the West, insulting Islam, and how he stood up for Christianity too and Judaism during his speech, defending them, saying, you know, we would be as upset when people criticize the Prophet Muhammad. We would also be just as upset when people criticize Jesus or they criticize Abraham in the Jewish religion and the Christian religions. So this guy, I'm telling you, he is a smart guy. He's a cricket player. Maybe that explains it. I don't know how to play cricket. This isn't the first time the United States has backstabbed allies. We've done it numerous times, not just under Trump. I mean, you know, they want to blame Trump for everything, but that's just politics, and that's selfish politics for the media to do that. But the U.S. has abandoned all of its allies. We've done it before. We abandoned the Kurds before when it suited us, when Obama was president, when Bush was president. We abandoned them also. This is the first time, because of the destruction in Syria, that now there's this war field where people can be attacked and killed, and the Turks are going to chase the Kurds to prevent them from creating their own country. That is terrible. But this idea that this is the first time that we've backstabbed people, you know, in the Arab world, United States does it all the time, and it's all about politics. If you look at the history of the Kurds and the United States has betrayed the Kurds 8 times over the past century, because the Kurds are a pawns that have been used by every president in this country. Trump is no different than Obama. Trump is no different than George Bush. Trump is no different than, you know, Bill Clinton. And I'm telling you that we turned our backs on them. It didn't just start. We turned our backs on them, and we've allowed them to suffer the way they've done it over the years. It really is sad, and has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, people don't understand these Middle East region minorities. The Kurds are Persian, you know, and yet they're Sunni, you know, which is kind of unusual, isn't it? Usually the Persian Muslims are Shiite, and this war between the Shiites and the Sunnis is really what reflects the Iranian alliance with Hezbollah and, you know, Bashar al-Assad. It's terrible. And I'm going to tell you something. Do you remember in 1991 when George H.W. Bush called on the Iraqi military to stand up and, you know, undermine Saddam Hussein? And after he pushed them, he gave them the weapons, he backed off, and he allowed Saddam Hussein to destroy those rebels. Emphasize this. Don't even think for a minute that the media or the politicians care about the Kurds, you know, and the fact that Turkey is attacking the Kurds. What they care about is Trump is doing it, so they're going to turn it into something ugly because they have this agenda against Trump. And to me, that is so disgusting. that they would allow these people, you know, they're going to pretend like they care about the Kurds when the truth is they never cared about the Kurds. In the 1990s, when George H.W. Bush called on the Iraqi military and people to stand up to Saddam Hussein, you know, he pushed them and gave them the idea that he was going to support the Iraqi Shias in the south and the Iraqi Kurds in northern Iraq. He said that. They went out on a limb, and as soon as they did, the U.S. withdrew all funding, and Saddam Hussein crushed the Kurds. So don't give me this BS. And that was under George H.W. Bush. And I'll tell you what, Bill Clinton didn't do a thing about it during his 8 years. And George W. Bush didn't do a thing about it. And neither did Barack Obama. So these guys that, you know, suddenly like, oh my gosh, look what they're doing to the Kurds. That's a Trump, you know, sin. How could Trump do that? The truth is, it's not about Trump. It's about a policy that the United States has embraced for the last 30 years, where they've abandoned the Kurds, and they want to blame it now on President Trump. It's disgusting. I'm Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM 690 Radio in Greater Detroit Live. You can always go to Hanania.com and connect to the online links so you can listen to this radio show. Our number is 248-557-3300. Does anybody disagree with me and think that, that this is just Trump's policy that's the problem? Or maybe is there someone out there who understands the depth of the problem with the Kurds, that they've been abused and trampled and destroyed by the United States for years, and it has nothing to do with President Trump? And welcome back to the Arab Street Radio and Podcast, broadcast from Greater Detroit, Michigan, through 690 AM WNZK Radio live. Our number is 248-557-3300. I'm just posting something on Facebook, you know, to make the betrayal of the Kurds an issue that is on President Trump's back is so political and disgraceful and stupid. The fact is that, and you know, this is the way Americans are. We're swayed by politics. We don't care about the truth. It's whatever politics makes us feel good. And right now the politics is anything that Trump does, it's his fault, it's his problem, he's the only one. But the truth is the Kurds are a good example of how they've been betrayed by every U.S. president. George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama. They all abandoned the Kurds during their terms in office. And they did it for different reasons, every one of them. The worst was George H.W. Bush. Remember Mr. Nice Guy President, everybody says they love. He turned his back on the Kurds after encouraging them to stand up and to fight Saddam Hussein. And you know what? They did that. And then at the last minute, as part of a deal, we backed out of it. And we left the Kurds to be massacred by the Saddam Hussein's government for years until we finally went in there for the wrong reasons, of course, because of September 11th under George W. Bush to totally destroy and decimate Iraq. Said nothing about caring about the Kurds. And to single out President Trump and say that he's the problem is just purely insanity. And it's disrespectful. And it's the reason why the Kurds are suffering, because of the ignorance of people in this country who take their suffering and turn it into selfish politics. That's what it is. And that's really terrible. Yes, the Kurds are suffering, and they've always suffered, and nobody's cared about them. And it's a shame. It's not President Trump's shame. It's the American shame, because Americans have used it when it suited them, and they've turned their back on the Kurds when it was in their best interest. 248-557-3300. Anybody, call me up, challenge me. I'm willing to hear it. You know, this partisan politics, when something goes wrong, we want to turn it around, so that maybe Joe Biden will get a few more votes. The guy's a loser. And so is Elizabeth Warren. She's what? Are you kidding me? That Warren is going to beat Trump? You guys don't realize it, do you, that the media is making Trump stronger through their obvious ignorant reporting? And you know what else? I think Nancy Pelosi, you know, pushing for impeachment. Yeah, maybe he should be impeached. But the truth is that in today's environment, calling for impeachment is only going to make Trump 10 times stronger as a candidate than he would be if we'd actually fairly assess what he does right and what he does wrong. And I'm not going to defend the guy. He does a lot of things wrong. My issue is with the bias in the news media. It's not about politics, because all these presidents are exactly the same. 248-557-3300 is their phone number. You can call in, tell me what you think. I'd like to hear your views on the Kurds. Should we do something? Are you familiar with the history of the Kurds? Is this all about President Trump? Or maybe it's like we don't care about people in the Middle East, that this country never has cared about people in the Middle East. So give us a buzz, 248-557-3300. You can go through the whole history of the problems of what we've done to the Kurds, who are being massacred now in Syria. Syria is the new killing field. Syria, you can go in there and massacre everybody. Yeah, we backed down as the Russians took over Syria to reinstate, you know, the regime of Bashar al-Assad. And he did that. And I'll tell you what, that it's just tragic that we play politics with that. We play politics with suffering. We play politics with, you know, the lives of the, you know, refugees. They don't care about refugees in this country. They don't care about immigration. It's a political issue. That's all they care about. Because when they had the power to make a difference, immigration is a good example. When all the people who are screaming about Trump's immigration policies, when they were in charge, nothing was done. 25 years we've been talking about immigration. They've done nothing. And you want to know why? Because they don't want to do anything about it. You want to know why? Because immigration isn't the priority. You want to know why? Using issues like immigration to attack, partisan attacks against President Trump, is what they want. They're using this suffering as a weapon. They're weaponizing, you know, these things, not to save the immigrants, not to save the Kurds, but to strengthen their politics and to make their politics stronger, and in attacking Trump, because that's their goal. They want to take over, and believe me, whoever takes over from Trump, but I don't believe he's going to lose, I believe he's going to win, thanks in a large part to the bias in the mainstream media, and especially the late night TV media. You can't underestimate the impact that these bias, like you know, the hate show with Stephen Colbert, or Jimmy Kimmel, you know, these guys have a tremendous hate-driven influence on the American people and politics. All they're doing is reinforcing Trump and taking the focus off the issues. And if you can't see it, well, there's not much I can do, but I'd sure like to hear your response to it. What do we do? The right thing to do is to support the Kurds. Have we ever done it? No, we never have. 248-557-3300 is our number. We got one more segment coming up. During the show, we've talked about a few issues. The United Nations General Assembly, I'll tell you what, that was huge to cover that. And it's such a disappointment to see the Palestinian leadership, Mahmoud Abbas, you know, get up there, give a empty speech, and then follow it up with nothing. Doesn't talk to the media. These guys don't even know how to talk to the public. I think they're like, you know, the problem in the Middle East are these dictators, you know, these tyrants. You know, they don't want to have to be accountable. And I guess if you have to talk to the media, maybe that makes them feel like they have to be accountable to the public. But Abbas's presentation was horrible. His whole entourage of bootlickers, starting with Saab Erekat, just these guys, you know what, you can't, they cannot hide behind their suffering and say, oh, look at how we suffer under the Israeli oppression. You know, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? How about be smart? How about be a leader? How about do basic strategic communications to sell your message to the American people? How about doing that? What's the point of going to the UN and giving a speech that nobody listens to, except yourself? That's pathetic. That was so disappointing. But the only good thing, like I said, that came out of it was of the 193 nations, heads of states, you know, presidents, prime ministers, and speakers at the General Assembly, the majority, I'd say 70 to 80% of them, every one of them took a moment to reference Palestine and why Palestine is so significant to the world. And it was just good to hear other people, you know, when our own people can't do it because of the pathetic leadership of the Palestinian people, the activists, that they're so dysfunctional, they're divided by hate. It was so nice and moving to hear these other countries, all of them, little countries to big countries, to take a moment to talk about Palestine. And in their speech about their own troubles in their own country, they set aside 2 minutes or 3 minutes to say something powerful about Palestine. Thank God for them that the Palestinian issue is still surviving, because it has nothing to do with the leadership, the dysfunctional activists, or the rest of them. We're probably our own worst enemy. But it's just inspiring to hear these people continue to talk and support our cause. And then also the speech by Imran Khan, the Prime Minister of Pakistan, former cricket player. Probably one of the most moving speeches I'd ever heard on international relations in 45 years. We're going to take our final break here at WNZK AM 690, the Herb Street Radio. I'm Ray Hanania. We're going to be right back right after these messages. And welcome back to the Herb Street Radio and podcast. I'm Ray Hanania. It is October 11th, 2019. We'll podcast this radio show later on the ArabStreet.org website, where all the Middle East-focused podcasts go. And I was out for a couple weeks because, you know, health issues. You know, as you get older, that's what are you going to do? It's just part of it. So I took a little break, but I'm back on my feet again. But I am going to cut out a lot of the activism that I've, you know, I'm going to keep the radio show, I think. I keep writing columns for a bunch of newspapers, American politics and Middle East politics. And, of course, I'm a special correspondent for the Arab News newspaper here in the United States. So I'm going to stay focused on that, plus clients, you know, that I have in government, you know, helping them with communications and media. I'll keep all that. But all this other extraneous stuff, the Palestinian activists are just disappointing. They cannot get their act together. They just hate each other more than anything. They can't handle collaboration. Because in their words, in their minds, collaboration only has a negative connotation. You know, you're a collaborator. But the truth is, when groups come together and collaborate, they create powerful consensus. But that's something the Palestinians don't know how to do. All the Palestinians know how to do is rip each other to pieces and call each other names. And when somebody strives for success, like Leila Hosseini, they will do anything. This is an Arab cultural thing, not just a Palestinian thing, but the Palestinians do it worse than the rest because they have the biggest issues. When someone like Leila Hosseini stands up to create a phenomenal radio network, you know, she gets criticized by her own community, some of the people in her own community, but we ignore them. 248-557-3300. If you want to call in and share your voices, this is where you put power to your voice. You give what you think a voice. It's important because people listen. Not everybody calls in. A lot of people don't like to call into a radio show. I'll get a lot of emails and I'll get a lot of posts and messages, you know, from people thanking me for bringing up some of these issues. And I appreciate it, you know, which I love. I do public speaking and presentations all over the place. It's always the same 100 or 200 people that come out. And they all say the same thing. They appreciate my perspective. They don't agree with me 100% because they're smart. There's no such thing as 100% in American politics. It doesn't exist. So if I agree with them 70% of the time and someone else 60% of the time, I'm going to support the guy or the woman who I agree with 70% of the time. That's just the way it is. You know, that's smart politics. That means that I have to accept some things that I don't like. There's no purity in politics. And the whole idea that, you know, you can be pure. That's an excuse for failure. And that's what the Palestinian activists do. They're just failures. They're terrible. They have no effective campaign here in the United States. It's just total dysfunction. And they've gone from being a secular movement to a religious extremist movement. Everything is now religious. It's not secular. It's all they care about, and it's about them. This is about a job for them. Some of these activists, if they ever had peace between Israelis and Palestinians, they'd be out of a job. And that's what this is, preserving their job, preserving their existence. It's easy to be the victim. It's hard to overcome victimization. It's difficult to overcome injustice. But it's very easy to sit back, let others around you get pummeled, and you stand up and speak as if you have the, you know, moral authority and righteous, you know, foundation to stand up against the injustices, against the people. It's so fake. And you know, after 45 years of watching it, I should write a book about it. You know, I should do a book, Dysfunction, The Story of Palestinian American Activism. Oh my gosh. I remember that, when I was the president of the Palestinian American Congress, the craziness that went on by the fanatics. Everybody's so afraid of the extremists. We couldn't get anything done. So I stepped down and said, 1 year was enough. And where is the Palestinian American Congress? Where is any Palestinian voice in this country? Nowhere. Nowhere. And they sit there and we pretend that they're somewhere. Believe me, I'm telling you, they're nowhere. And maybe you think, oh, Ray, why are you being so harsh? Because I'm going to tell you what, 45 years of watching these people do the same thing, same faces around the table, same issues, nothing accomplished except for padding their own pockets, making themselves more popular, you know, giving themselves names so they could be rap stars. You know, like some of these activists are rappers, or because they want to have a Centurion website where they wrap themselves around the justice of the Palestinian cause, and then go around and use that to beat up on rivals that they don't like. It's just horrible. Just terrible. But I'll tell you what, the one guy out of all this past week, Imran Khan, Prime Minister of Pakistan, phenomenal speaker. If you get a chance, you got to go to the UN Web TV website and look up his speech. Now, granted, it's like 56 minutes, almost an hour. It's one of the longest speeches that were there. But he was moving very articulate and very reasoned and rational. The other is I wrote a column at the Arab News. Go to Hananiah.com. You can link to those columns. This one was about Rima Bandar al-Saud, who is the first woman ambassador to the United States representing Saudi Arabia. Now, you know, everybody jumps all over Saudi Arabia all the time, but that's, again, that's self-hate, because it's jealousy and internal politics. It has nothing to do with anything. Saudi Arabia has done more to help the United States than any other Middle East country. They've done more to help the Palestinians than any other Middle East country, and they continue to change their reforms, and they're reforming their society. Sure, women have been oppressed in Saudi Arabia in relationship to how women are treated in the U.S., but it wasn't 100 years ago that women in the U.S. were abused and mistreated. I got a chance to talk to Michael Bloomberg. That was one of the points I made to him in my interview with him. I said, how is it that it was okay? Why don't we look back and say, hey, the United States freed women, gave them the right to vote, you know, only over the past 100 years. Why is Saudi Arabia not praised for following in that same direction? It didn't happen overnight in the United States. Nobody yelled and complained. It changed. And that's what's happening. It's called transition. And that's what's happening in Saudi Arabia. And it made me proud when Princess Rima, is what they call her, the ambassador to the U.S. from Saudi Arabia, Rima Bandar al-Saud, got up there and offered Happy New Year to the Jewish people during Rosh Hashanah, which is their New Year celebration, their religious New Year celebration, which is marked by 10 days after followed by Yom Kippur, which is their holiest Jewish holiday. And you know why that was so important? Because what Rima, Princess Rima, was doing in her gesture of offering Happy New Year, she took a lot of criticism and abuse from the fanatics for doing that. But what she did was she helped separate the politics of the Middle East and the corruption of the Middle East from the religions of the Middle East. In other words, just because you criticize Israel doesn't make you anti-Semitic. The Israelis want you to believe that. But by standing up and speaking out in defense of religion, the Jewish religion, it's a reminder that it's different from Israel's government. Israel's government is not Judaism. Anyway, listen, I want to thank everybody for always supporting me. I appreciate all the text messages that I'm getting now, all the emails, all the comments on Facebook. You know, I know, like I said, it's tough for people to go on radio and talk and express themselves, but I want to tell you how much I appreciate it. You go to my website at hannahnia.com. You get all the columns, all the commentary, and all the podcasts. I want to thank everybody at WNZK, AM 690, in the greater Detroit, Michigan region, and everybody who's been listening online for joining me this morning here at the Arab Street Radio and Podcast. I'm Ray Hanania. You guys have a great month. I'll see you on the second Tuesday of November. Thanks, buddies. Bye. Thanks for listening to the Arab Street Radio and Podcast. I'm Ray Hanania. We've had a discussion of all the issues facing Arabs in America and the Middle East, from Israel to Palestine, Syria, and more. Visit www.hanania.com to get more information on all of my podcasts and on my award-winning opinion columns.